And let's go to the New Testament to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10. And I want us to begin in just a moment in verse number 38. We'll read down to verse number 42. I know that tonight, New Year's Eve, how many is accustomed to staying into the new year? You stay up all night, all right? Not all night, but until midnight, all right? How many really doesn't care? You just go to bed. Would you raise your hand? All right, that's fine. And whatever you choose to do. You know, the new year's going to come in one way or the other. Reminds me of a story I heard years ago about a man who had just moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life there. And his wife had passed away many years before this. And it wasn't long until he'd made a number of friends in the retirement community. And in fact, there was one lady that he was especially attracted to, and she was attracted to him. And so it came finally one evening that he proposed asking her to marry him. Well, the next morning, he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember the answer from this lady that he loved and wanted to marry. So he went to her and he said, "I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." And she said, "Oh, thank goodness," she replied. "I remembered saying yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me, you know." Well, you know, honestly, sometimes, I'm glad you got that over there, but anyway, all right. But sometimes New Year's resolutions can become just that. We know we've made them, but a few months into the year, we can't remember what we've made. And tonight, I want to put the emphasis where God places the emphasis. I don't think it's wrong to have daily disciplines or resolutions or things that we want to do in the year. I think all of us desire to be better Christians. I believe that we want to be faithful. Maybe we want to be healthy and whatever it may be. I think those are good things. But you know, God brings the Christian life down to one thing. Tonight, I want to preach on this subject. One thing is needful. Tonight, I'm going to make it simple. You need one thing in 2018. One thing. Just one thing. That's all you need. And if you have this one thing in your life, everything else will be in its proper place. But if this one thing is not important, or of not a necessity to you, then everything else in your life will be out of place. No matter how many resolutions you have, no matter how many disciplines you might have, tonight one thing is needful. Let's read in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. Notice what the Bible says here. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" One thing is needful tonight. If the Lord Jesus Christ could give us just one thing, let's keep it simple tonight. Let's make it simple for 2018. Do you want to be the dad that God has called you to be? Do you want to be the mother that God has called you to be? You want to be the son, the daughter, the co-worker, the husband, the wife, the Christian? Do you want to be what God has called you to be? I think every one of us tonight, we're here because we want to listen. We want to receive. And we want 2018 to be a great year of obedience to Jesus Christ. But may I come to this one thing. One thing is needful. And that is that we learn to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. That is the one thing needful. You know, when I first became a Christian and came to know Christ as my Savior, I wanted to read God's precious word. It was not something that I was made to do. I desired to read the Bible, and I can still remember that first week after I came to know the Lord. I remember God's word was a new book to me. I mean, it was alive, and I was reading it, and I couldn't put it down. I enjoyed it. I loved God's word, and I enjoyed reading it, and I would read it and feast on it and underline verses and compare scripture with scripture. God's word was the bread of life. It was the water. It was everything that I needed. It was nourishing because as I was in the presence of God, sitting at his feet, God began to transform my life. He began to deal with me about habits and about attitudes and about things in my life that were not right. But you see, tonight we must sit at Jesus' feet. Now, the story that God gives us is a known story. We know about Martha and Mary. And by the way, before you get too hard on Martha, I want to remind you that Jesus was not hard on her. Do you know that the simple reproof that Christ gave to her, I do not believe was done in a fit of anger, obviously because Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son, he was sinless, but I do not believe that it was even righteous indignation. I believe that the tone that Jesus gave to Martha was, "Martha, Martha." And by the way, can I say to you tonight, there is a lot more Martha in me than there is Mary. And if all of us would be honest tonight, we would have to say that there is a lot of Martha in us. By the way, did you know that the natural bent of man is to have the Martha spirit? The Martha spirit is not a bad spirit in and of itself. And by the way, what was Martha doing? She was serving Jesus Christ, was she not? Now, here it is, these two sisters, and they both loved Jesus Christ, and they invited Jesus to come to their home. In fact, it was obvious that Jesus went to their home often. He knew that they loved him, and they listened to him, and they were a blessing to him. So Jesus went to their home often, and it is indicated here in this passage that they, in a sense, had an appointment that Jesus would come. And can you see Martha and Mary? They're scurrying around the house and they're making sure everything is in its place. They're making sure that everything is ready for Jesus. God's Son, the Messiah, is coming to their home. And here they are, they're working, they're laboring. The scriptures indicate that both Martha and Mary were busy working in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. But the difference is this. When Jesus showed up on the doorstep that day, Martha thought there was more to be done. And she kept working and laboring for Jesus, but Mary, the Bible says, sat at his feet. And tonight, the one thing that is needful for you and me is that we learn to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. The third and last point, and this comes from the message this morning, is the place that is essential. Andrew Murray, one of my favorite authors, said this in referring to our quiet time with God. How many Christians look upon it as a burden and a duty and a difficulty to get alone with God? That is the great hindrance to our Christian life everywhere. Now, brethren, let's be honest, and I want to ask you something tonight, not that for you to answer out loud, but how do you view the quiet time with God? How do you view it? Is it to you as just duty that I've got to do this and I've got to spend this time? Brethren, do you know that our fellowship with Jesus Christ should be like a relationship? You know, if my wife and I can use this because it's the closest relationship that I have and know of. But what if it was that, you know, when I took my wife out to eat or whatever it may be, I said, "Well, honey, I really don't want to do this, but I'm supposed to do it, so let's go out to eat tonight," you know? Can I tell you something? She's not going to want to go to eat with me, you know? That's not love. That is not care. That is not compassion. And brethren, how often we are so busy doing what Martha is doing that we do not have the same spirit of Mary, where we just want to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. You see, your quiet time with God is the most important thing about your life. The one thing that is needful for every man and every woman and every child here tonight is that we have a daily quiet time with God. A time when we come and sit at His feet. We listen to His Word. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We talk to God. We spend time with Him. And by the way, I believe that our devotional time, if you want to call it that, my pastor used to call it a devotional life. Because I don't think it should be that we have set aside how much time here for Jesus and then after we're done, then we go about and live our life. No, it should be that we are talking to Him throughout the day. It should be that we are living in obedience to the Lord. And as God speaks to us, we obey Him. And as we sin, we confess it to God. We make things right. We keep short accounts with God. We are living a life of abiding with Christ. I would like to refer to it as walking with God. You know something? If you're going to walk with me, let's say that I said after the service, hey, I'm kind of tired and let's go on a walk tonight around the park, all right? Number one, you'd say, Pastor, I'm sorry, it's cold, all right? I'm not doing that. And but let's just say a nice, cool evening, maybe in the summer. And one of my favorite things to do with my wife is take walks. I love that. And you know something? We walk hand in hand together. You know something? If I'm the only one doing the talking, she's not going to enjoy the walk very much. But you know what? As we walk hand in hand together, she talks a little bit and I listen. And then I talk a little bit and she listens. We laugh together. We talk together. We listen together. And you know something? I don't want the walk to end because I enjoy her company. I enjoy her fellowship. It's like Enoch. Remember what the Bible says, that he walked with God. Now think of that testimony. Brethren, every one of us here tonight can walk with God. That's the wonder of it all, is that, look, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have a Bible college degree. You don't have to know all kinds of things. You could be a Christian for 1 hour or for 10 or 50 years. But every one of us tonight, we can sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. We can walk with God in 2018. It is your choice tonight. Now, here's the wonder of wonders, and that is that God wants to walk with you. He wants to hear you. He wants to teach you. He wants to speak to your heart. You see, the very place that is essential is that we sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Go back to Luke chapter 10, and I want to show you something that I think is very important. The Bible says in verse 41, Luke chapter 10, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha," notice this, "thou art careful," the word means anxious, "and troubled about many things." Now that word troubled is a word that means distracted. It's a word that refers to being pulled apart. I remember years ago that when my sister and she had a little baby doll. And I was just doing what brothers do good, and that was aggravating her, all right? And I had grabbed that baby doll. I was going to take it outside and, you know, play with it, you know? And that meant run over it with my motorcycle or something, you know, or something like that, or putting it underneath the lawnmower or whatever, you know? And I remember she grabbed the other end of it, and I had the other end, and we had a tug of war going on. Well, you know, baby dolls aren't built very good, you know? And all of a sudden, the head came off, you know. It was awesome. But anyway, it was one of those good days in life, you know. And, of course, she went and told Mom and all of that. But you know something? So often in life, we feel pulled, do we not? We have duties at our work. We have duties at home. We have responsibilities. We have this to do and that to do and deadlines to meet and bills to pay and responsibilities to deal with. And we have all kinds of things. And brother, may I tell you something? One of the devil's greatest tools to keep us from sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ is to trouble us and distract us to where we are not in His presence. Have you ever tried to pray and the phone rings? Have you ever tried to spend time alone with God and someone needs you at that moment? What is that? Listen, brethren, the devil wants to keep you out of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to keep you from his feet, because it is there that we learn. It is there that we grow. It is there that we become strong in the Lord. Brethren, tonight, we've got to guard our hearts in 2018. And the greatest way that we can do that is to sit at Jesus' feet. I told you I had an illustration for you, and I think Brother Bartley will enjoy this because he knows a lot about trees and all of that. But back in March of 2003, something happened that had not happened since 1969. There were the trees, the sequoia trees of California. Anybody's ever seen the giant redwood trees of California? Anybody ever seen them? I would love to see them one day. Some of those trees stand over 240 feet tall. In fact, many of those trees put down roots long before the United States became a country. I mean, these trees have just been standing tall and strong there in the California sun. But back in March of 2003, two of those giant sequoia trees fell to the ground. Well, it was obvious that they wanted to find out what had taken place. The Forest Service authorized an investigation. There was no windstorm. There was no fire. There was no flood. There was no lightning strike. They investigated with inside the tree, and no evidence of animal or insect damage. And they came to one conclusion. Now think of this. A giant, massive tree standing over 200 feet tall. They described it was because of foot traffic. And you say, well, Pastor, what is foot traffic? Foot traffic takes place around the base of the tree where the roots, the giant roots, are exposed. And because of the hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people that would visit the Yosemite area there, and they would look and take pictures around the trees, and it was very legal, it was very welcome to do that. Travelers and tourists would stand, they would step on the roots of these mighty trees, damaging the root system, and therefore not able to take in the nourishment and the water. And down went the mighty sequoia trees. Brother, may I say to you that there's something here for us to understand. After that took place, some of the forest rangers decided that some of the oldest trees, they would enforce a new policy, and they would literally put some type of covering, some type of restraint to keep people from trampling the root systems of these trees. Now, let me say this to you. You and I would have never thought that that would have caused that. Just people over years, months and years, stepping and hurting and harming the root system of those mighty trees. But brethren, all of us tonight, we too have a delicate foot system. You know, our root system in our life is very delicate. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, what causes the foot traffic in your life and in my life? It's the busyness of our life. It is the things that Martha dealt with. It was the things, and by the way, the things she was doing for Jesus. It was just the busyness of the home, and it was the busyness of all the responsibilities. You know what? We live in a world that is very noisy. I'm not talking about just our physical sound, but it's busy, is it not? We have our spouses to take care of. We have houses to maintain. We have our jobs to deal with, and the burdens and the labor that goes with that. We have heartache. We have sorrow. We have children to tend to. We have bills to pay, and we have responsibilities. What is that? It is foot traffic. It is the very thing that causes the mighty trees to fall. And if we do not put a fence around the roots, around the very thing that is the most precious, the most viable, the most guarded, and our root system is our fellowship with Jesus Christ. It is that time sitting at His feet. It is being in His presence on a daily basis. It is listening for the voice of God as He speaks to us through His Word. It is bearing our heart to our heavenly Shepherd. It is giving Him our troubles and talking to Him. It is walking with God. If that thing is not in your life, we will topple just like the mighty sequoia trees. You know something? I haven't been in the ministry long. In my opinion, it's been almost 20 years now, and almost as long as I've been married. But in the time that I've been a pastor, I've known of preachers, missionaries, evangelists that have gotten out of the ministry because of some public fall in their life. Can I tell you something? It wasn't the public fall. The something outward, it happened months and maybe years before that. You know what happened? Foot traffic. They allowed the busyness to crowd out the most important thing in their life. And brethren, let me say this to you. 2018, I want it to be the greatest year of my life. You want it to be a great year. I'm asking God to do something in this church that He continues to do, and for the Lord to bless, and for souls to be saved, and for God to give the increase. And I'm asking in my personal life that I can draw nearer to the Lord. But may I say to you, all of those things are just peripheral if we do not have that time daily that we sit at Jesus' feet. I'm talking about unhurried time. I'm talking about time that we can listen to God through His Word, and we can talk to Him and He talks to us, and time that we fence off and say, look, this is the root system and I'm not letting anything or anybody take away from my time. It is essential. It is necessary so that I can be what God has called me to be. Can I say this to you tonight? You'll never accomplish what the Lord has called you to accomplish unless you learn to sit at His feet. You know, all of us tonight, we have Martha and Mary in our hearts. By the way, I believe that if you are a child of God, there is a yearning in your heart to spend time with Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us that we have that cry within us. What is it? Abba, Father. Do you know that there is something within every child of God that they want to be with their daddy? And that is Jesus Christ. They want to spend time in His presence. They long to be with Him. I think of this when my children were very young and we would go certain places. You know something, if we were at church or in a function or whatever it may be, if they would see me, they would come to me. I remember years ago, I took my son Caleb, I think he was 5, and I went to a retreat, and I can't remember Iowa or Illinois where I was at, and I was preaching at a retreat to teenagers, and it was just me and him. And I can still remember, he was in the back of this open tabernacle. It was summertime, and I was preaching to teens, man, I was going crazy and all of that. Well, he had a little dinosaur in the back that he loved, and he was playing with that thing. And the chairs had little holes in them. Well, he stuck that dinosaur down in that chair and with its tail, and he couldn't get it out, and he broke the tail off. And he came walking up to me. Well, I'm preaching, you know. I mean, this is serious business. And he's holding the dinosaur in the tail on the other hand, crying as all he could get out. Just walked right up the aisle, you know. I'm like, hey, son, it's okay, go back. And he's like, oh, no tail, you know, and all that. And I said, son, go back. I'll buy you another dinosaur. Go, you know. But can I tell you something? In that moment, his heart was broken. His tail was gone off his dinosaur. You know what? He wanted his daddy. It didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter. He wanted to get to his daddy. Can I tell you something? Brethren, if you know Jesus Christ, there's a yearning in our heart. We do want to get to our Father. We want to spend that time. But the busyness of life, the responsibilities, and I don't know if you're like me. I sit down and I think of 100 things I need to do. In fact, I stopped keeping a pad beside me because I'd be reading the Bible and I'd remember, I need to call so-and-so, and I'd write it down over there. And guess what I was doing? I was distracted. I could put my name there for Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Look here, every one of us tonight, We have things in our heart that trouble us, things that cause us anxiety, if you want to say it, things that cause us to be distracted and pull us apart. But brethren, we must dedicate time daily. Look, for you, it may be in the morning. That may be the best time for you. It may be the evening for you. It might be for children. It might be when you get home from school that you can have time to get in your room and spend time with God and let God speak to your heart and spend time in prayer. But all of us, the one thing that is needful is to sit at Jesus' feet. You know something? Isn't it amazing? The Lord Jesus could have given us five things that are essential, could he not? He could have said, here's 10 things to do. But he said one thing is needful, one thing, and that is to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you something tonight? Will you choose to spend quiet, reflective time with God in his word? Or will you allow life's pressures to crowd out Christ in your life? Will you build a sacred enclosure as the forest rangers did around those giant sequoia trees? Will you build a sacred enclosure around your heart and around that time to be alone with Christ? Or will you allow the foot traffic of the busyness of life to destroy the root system? You see, brethren, it doesn't happen overnight. When someone gets out of church and someone doesn't follow Christ, it didn't happen overnight. It was foot traffic. It was just little things here and there that hurt and harmed and wounded them. And they never got in the presence of the great physician to heal them and to mend their hearts. Oh, brethren, the one thing that is needful. You see, the source for the child of God that gives us our strength, that gives us our, in many ways, it gives us our vision, it ignites us, it sustains us, it empowers absolutely everything about our life, is that time at the feet of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the quiet, unhurried, reverent time alone with God. And by the way, can I say this to you? It's hard sometimes to get in the presence of Jesus. Because the Bible becomes a mirror. And sometimes I don't like what I see in the mirror. Sometimes when I'm in the presence of God, it's just me and God. And I can't put on a front before God. I cannot disguise myself with God. But it is the greatest place that we can be. God examines us. He deals with us. He shows us spirit and attitudes in our heart that do not belong there. He deals with us about root problems so that we might live a victorious Christian life. Can I ask you something tonight? Do you enjoy being in his presence? May I be honest before you tonight? Maybe a little bit too honest. There have been times in my life when I am doing so much for God that I'm not spending time with him. I think the greatest danger of every pastor or people in the ministry is when I read the Bible, I see messages all over. But I need God's word for myself. I need it for my own soul. I need it to feed myself. And that's why Jesus said in John 6, verse number 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Can I say something to you tonight? The Spirit of God breathed this book right here. The Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Look here, you want life breathed into your Christian life? You want revival tonight? Then get at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know what? You may say tonight, Pastor, I'm so far away from God. There's no way I can get in his presence. Look, that's when you need to get in his presence. You may say, well, Pastor, there's so much sin in my life and there's so many faults and failures. Come to Jesus. Sit at his feet. He being the teacher, you being the pupil, and listen and let him instruct you and confess to him. Listen, he desires to guide our life. He desires to cleanse us and lead us. Tonight, the one thing that is needful is spending time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Look, it will correct us. It'll get us on course. It'll bring us to where we need to be. Oswald Chambers said this, beware of saying, I haven't time to read the Bible or to pray. Say rather, I haven't disciplined myself to do these things. Can I tell you what I found to be true in my life? I do what I think is important to do. You know what? I think it's pretty important to eat. Praise God for food, all right? When we go home tonight, we're going to eat. And, we get a little extra time tonight, so we'll just eat till midnight, you know? And what a blessing that is. Look here, I eat because it's pretty important to me. Tastes good. Every one of us here tonight, we do basically what we want to do. We give time to what we really want to give time to. We make time for what we think is important. Tonight, we may say, and I've said it, I just don't have time. No, that's not really true. We don't make the time. Because the truth is, we make time for what we think is important in our lives. Brethren, tonight, the one thing that is needful is sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you a few simple thoughts here, and we'll be done tonight. What does it mean to sit at His feet? Number one, to sit at His feet indicates a readiness to believe what the Savior is teaching. Do you know that when Mary on that day, here it is, you see Mary and Martha, and they're making preparation for Jesus to come, and boy, I tell you, can you imagine what it would have been like to have the Son of God come to your home? And no doubt Martha, maybe she had that perfectionist nature about her. She wanted everything to be perfect. Everything in its place, all the dust taken care of, and all the dishes, everything in its place. And Mary was busy as well. She was working and laboring. But the moment that Jesus Christ arrived on the scene, Mary laid the dishes down. She stopped what she was doing, and she came and she sat at His feet. And by the way, look back in Luke chapter 10, because I want to show you something. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, it says this. We go back to verse number 38. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went, and He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house." What a testimony. Martha welcomed Jesus Christ. What a testimony. But look at the testimony of Mary. This was something she did often. Verse number 39, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Can I ask you something tonight? What would be the testimony of your life? What would people say about your life? Could they say that man, that woman, that young person sits at Jesus' feet? They hear His word. Do you know that if we are sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, it indicates that we want to hear from God. We want Him to speak to our hearts and to guide our life. We come as the student to the teacher and we say, "Lord, teach me." It indicates that. Number two, to sit at His feet, I want you to notice this, implies submission. I wonder if sometimes I do not sit at His feet because I do not want to submit. Do you know that so often in a classroom, when the teacher comes into the classroom and the teacher has rules, has regulations, has things, order, classroom discipline, and guess what? You know what? The students have to submit. You take a church and you take a pastor, and I have staff. The staff has to submit to the leadership of the pastor. You take your job site. There are foremen. There are people that are in charge. And the people under them, the co-workers, they have to submit. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. It is a good thing in the eyes of God. God has established authority, and He established submission to authority. It is something good and proper. But brethren, could it be that you and I, at times, we don't sit at Jesus' feet because we do not want to submit? We do not want to yield to Him. You see, we cannot know Christ while we resist Jesus Christ. Do you know that if someone is learning under someone else, let's say that someone is maybe doing an apprenticeship and trying to learn a trade, do you know that the one that is learning has to submit? He has to yield. He has to listen. He has to receive. And if he does not, there can be no learning. Brethren, is it that we are not growing because we are not sitting at Jesus' feet? It implies submission. It implies that we have died to ourselves. It implies that we have yielded to Jesus Christ. Number three, not only does it indicate a readiness to listen, not only does it imply submission, but it reveals faith. You know that Mary believed in what Jesus said, and therefore she sat to listen to him. She heard his word. She believed. She had faith. Look here. Do you know that without faith, it is impossible to please God? Now, you say, well, where is faith involved? Faith is involved in that I cannot see God. And look here. I didn't see God instruct men to write his word. By faith, I believe it is the word of God. By faith, I believe that God hears me and that when I come into his presence, guess what? I'm by faith. I'm praying to someone I cannot see with my eyes. I am trusting. I am placing my faith in him. And the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mary expressed her faith. Number four, it shows that we desire to be his disciples. Do you know that when Mary sat at Jesus' feet, she indicated, I want to be your disciple. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Jesus? Meaning, you are learning from him. You are following his ways. You are obeying him. Sitting at the feet of Jesus reveals that we want to be his disciple. Do you know that it is amazing to me that often in God's word it said, especially at the end of Jesus' earthly pilgrimage here on earth, the Bible says, what did it say about the disciples? They all forsook him and fled. And look, this morning we talked about how that we forsake the fountain of living water and we hew out our own cisterns. Look here, how many times do we say, Lord, that's too hard. And Lord, that's too much to sacrifice. And you know what we do? We have to get up and walk away, and we can't sit at his feet, because if we're going to sit at his feet, we will obey him. We will love our enemies. We will do good unto them that curse us and bless them that despitefully use us. We will. You see, those are the tough things about the Christian life that we really don't want to follow. We want the blessings. So often we don't want to make the sacrifice. A disciple of Jesus Christ. Christ said, come, follow me. Oh, listen, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, guess what you have to do? Take up your cross and follow him. And there is a reproach to taking up that cross. Mary sat at his feet. She identified herself. She placed her faith in the Lord. And she said, I will be your disciple. Number five, it declares that we seek to serve our Savior. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor. Martha was serving Jesus only in her own way. Now, can I say this to you tonight? Sometimes we want to serve Jesus on our own terms. We want to serve Jesus Christ like we want to do it. And that, in a sense, is what Martha was doing. Martha said, Jesus, you deserve everything in the house to be perfect. And there's lots to do. And we got to get this done and get this done over here. And guess what? Now, here's something that's very important. We know that we are not sitting at the feet of Jesus when we are complaining about other Christians. Because what did Martha do? I mean, look what the Bible says. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10 and notice what it says in verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, now think of this, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she help me. Can I tell you, it is indicated that we are not sitting at the feet of Jesus when, number one, we are upset about other children of God. We are complaining and criticizing about what that Christian is not doing. They should be helping me. I'm serving Jesus, and Jesus, she should be helping me in here do all of this. And brethren, when we get our eyes on other people, it is an indicator that we are not sitting at His feet. By the way, a second thing, an indicator that we are not sitting at the feet of Jesus, is we don't think Jesus cares. Is that not what Martha said? Lord, dost Thou not care that Mary is not helping me? Do You not care? Do You not see all that I'm doing? Bid her therefore to come and help me. Look here, when I'm not sitting at the feet of Jesus, I don't think Jesus cares. I complain about other Christians. And guess what? I just don't have time to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, the one thing that is needful for you and me is to sit at His feet. You may say tonight, well, Pastor, how can we really serve the Lord? Do you know the greatest way that you and I serve Jesus Christ is sitting at His feet? In fact, do you know that your service for God should come from your sitting with God? And by the way, when we get tired and weary of our serving, it is because we have not been sitting. You see, we must sit before we can serve properly. And unless we sit, we do not enjoy serving. Martha, is Martha having the joy of the Lord? No. Is Martha enjoying what she's doing? No. Because now she's looking at Mary. Now she's complaining. Now she's saying, Lord, do You not care for me? The one thing that is needful for all of us here is to be in His presence. Take your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter number 3 tonight. Colossians chapter number 3, and I want to show this to you. Tonight, I want to invite you. By the way, experts say that it takes 21 days to develop a habit. That's 3 weeks. I want to encourage you for the next 3 weeks, for the next 21 days, to not miss a time sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. You say, how long, Pastor? I don't know. How long does it take you? How long can it be that you can get your heart full? I'll just be honest with you. It takes me a while. Maybe because my heart is not yielded as it should be. You see, so often I've come into the presence of God and I'm not ready to sit at His feet. I complain. And sometimes most of my prayer time is just complaining about all that I want to be changed. But then I'll tell you what happens. I get into the Word of God. And God's Word is like a two-edged sword. It begins to cut me. It begins to deal with me. It begins to root out the bitterness and the unforgiveness. And it begins to deal with me about the things in my life and my thinking that is not right. Because you know what the Bible does to us? It transforms our minds. It renews our minds. It makes us think right. It makes us think right about God, about people, about everything in life. Colossians 3:16. Look what the Bible says. It says this, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. I love this verse. And the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell. You ought to underline that word. You know what the word dwell means? It means to take up house. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you compare that passage with back in Ephesians or Galatians, it talks about that is the secret, the open secret to the Spirit-filled life. Look here. I know what it is to preach a message and to do it in the flesh. and it's the worst thing that I can ever imagine in this world. I know what it is to serve God and do it in the energy of the flesh, and it's terrible. And by the way, it profits nothing. Because the Bible says in John 6:63, the flesh profiteth me nothing. It profits nothing. It's in vain. But I also know what it is when I'm preaching that God the Holy Spirit is helping me. And boy, I'll tell you, it's just like the Lord is turning the pages of the notes, that He's turning the pages and He is putting things in my heart to say. I know what it is to get into the Word of God and to pray and for God to come in the room with me. And for the Lord to comfort me and to wrap His everlasting arms around me and to speak to me and whisper peace to me and comfort me and put strength in me. And for me to walk out of the room knowing that I've been with God, knowing that I've been in His presence. And when those times happen, I think, why do I ever skip a day? Why do I ever miss an opportunity? Look here. This morning I talked about how that we hew ourselves, our own cisterns. Look, can I tell you, can I make it applicable to all of us? We all are going to have foot traffic. We all are going to have the busyness and the pressures and the trials. And sometimes what we do is we try to hew ourselves out our own cisterns. We try to find something else to comfort us when God will comfort us. We try to find something else to ease the pain when God will ease the pain. We try to find something else to give us strength when God will give us strength. You see, what we do is we don't sit at His feet. The one thing that is needful in your life and in my life is to come and to sit at His feet. Look here, I don't want it to become academic. All right, I'm just got to read my chapter here today, and then I've got my prayer list, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going about my day. No. Think of it as a walking with God, a relationship with Him that you read for a while, and ask God to speak to your heart before you read. Spirit of God, deal with me today. Reveal to me. And by the way, the Spirit of God's your teacher. He teaches you the Word of God. And then as God speaks to you, you can stop right there. Oh, God, help me with this. Lord, this is what I need. Maybe a verse that you can write out and put in your pocket and carry with you throughout the day. The verse that will help you and the verse that kind of is a rope from heaven for you to hang on and to get through something that you're dealing with in life. But to spend that time and to bear your heart to God. We have a God in heaven who humbles Himself to listen to man, to humble Himself, to hear our prayer, to want to walk with us, to want to guide us in life. And we neglect the most important thing that we could ever have. Tonight, the one thing that is needful, that is essential above all things, is to sit at His feet. Let's bow our heads in prayer.